Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. I hope you like our music cues. I chose these specifically given our topic of family rituals, tradition, and holidays. This is Bruce Allen. You can reach me at bruce@bruceallen.com or follow me at Twitter. We normally have Pastor Drew as our guest in this segment for Teen Rap. And as I told you in segment one, he is in Brazil on a mission, working with locals and a community from his church of teens and others to build a low ropes course at a camp there. How cool is that? Instead, we have a very special guest. It's like going from Republican to Democrat. We have gone against our gender bias, and we have – do we have a drum roll, Jim? Richard? No, we don't have a drum roll, but imagine a drum roll. We have a woman guest today. Barbara Greenberg is a clinical psychologist and the co-author of the hit book Teenage as a Second Language, A Parent's Guide to Becoming Bilingual. I didn't even get that title the first time I read it, and now I just think it's so darn clever. She is also the co-creator of the website TalkingTeenage.com, which is an interactional website for parents and teens. This website is lively, proactive, and fun, and it has thousands of followers. Barbara regularly writes for Gal Time and also appears on television often with a recent appearance on The Daily Buzz. Welcome to the Bruce Allen Show, Barbara.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be speaking with you today.
Did I leave anything out?
No, you absolutely didn't.
Okay. It is our first time together on the radio, and as my listeners know, I do not rehearse. So we will have fun live and spontaneously. And my first thought and question is, what do you think about the column and the idea and the importance or lack thereof of rituals, holidays, and tradition with families?
You know, I love the column. It resonated with me very deeply for a couple of reasons. I think I am now in a splendid family, and I think rituals are important in all families, but as we were putting together this step family, the rituals helped us create memories and helped us bond.
Quicker than otherwise, probably.
Absolutely. And the rituals could be something as, you know, going to take a hike or riding a bike or other kind of silly, playful things that we did. But the rituals bonded us. And I can think of a ritual that I developed with my daughter, who's now 24, who would be humiliated if she actually heard me saying this, but I've humiliated her before.
That's our job. That's our job.
Right. Right. We always had this ritual since she was a little girl where we would do something called the happy dance. And any time we were happy about something, we would kind of do this dance, and every year it would have a little bit more added to it. And even now, at age 24, we have that kind of silly, playful time together where we do this thing called the happy dance. So I think it's really important for families not just to have serious moments together, but to have silly and playful moments together. So our rituals should be both serious and playful, because those are the skills that really help teens get through the day and help adults get through the day as well.
I think that's a real good addition to this whole concept. My previous guest is Wayne Levine, who is a men's expert, and we have a segment that's called The Men's Room. And one of the things that is part of his men's retreats, and I hope I'm not revealing anything I shouldn't, is doing what they call a silly. And it's very much like your dance. And it's when a man is too much in his head or is refusing to kind of hear what is being said or is just out of it for some reason or the other, he is asked to do a silly. And the silly can take form in whatever way you want. But basically, it's getting down on the ground and acting like a bug or freaking out or singing and just jumping around and it's, in essence, embarrassing yourself. And the moment you do that, you kind of break down barriers. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Absolutely what I'm talking about. It really has the potential to diffuse all kinds of tense situations. I teach that to parents of teens all the time. that if you're going through a rough moment with a kid, develop some kind of cue or some kind of joke or some kind of playfulness that works between the two of you. And it'll take a really tense moment and turn it into a light moment.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I have two teenagers, and, of course, we never have tense moments. So,
And you're alone. Yeah, you're alone with that dynamic.
I can't relate at all. Mm-hmm. But I have to ask you, Barbara, the title of your book, Talking Teenage, as another language. Again, as I said at the introduction, I truly didn't really get that until I read it a second time, and I thought how clever that is. And why don't you explain it a little bit?
Oh, I would love to. The reason that we wrote the book is because my co-author and I have worked with so many parents and teenagers, and what we noticed, you know, over time is that parents were saying, I don't really get what my kid is trying to say, and the parents and the kids were teens were saying, my mother or father is just simply clueless. teens really do want to talk to their parents, but that's a well-kept secret because it wouldn't be cool for teenagers to tell their parents that. They just want their parents to address them in a different kind of manner. What teenagers like is they like indirect requests for information. So let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Typical question, how was your day, we know goes over like a lead balloon, you know.
What happened at school today? There's
right.
One answer, nothing.
Nothing. And really, it's because it's too direct. Teens don't like questions that are too direct, in addition to the fact that maybe their day is not over yet because they still haven't resolved or processed what's happened during the day. So something that works much better than that is, you know, after the kids had a little bit of decompression time, then asking them something a little bit more indirect, a little bit more subtle, you know, tell me about the soccer game, or tell me about, you know, were those shoes comfortable today? Something very light. And if you can bring up something very light.
What drugs did you use today?
It's very funny. It's, you know, that's a very...
Did you cut class today?
Yeah, you know, it's
I'm
very
sorry,
funny.
Barbara. I'm
no,
sorry.
No. You bring up a very good point because I remember when my daughter used to either go on a date when she was a teenager or go to a party, I'd be waiting up in the living room. I'd be waiting in the living room, like, pretending that I was engrossed in a TV show or in a book. In fact, of course, I wasn't. I was just waiting to see that she was home safely, and I was waiting for the car to pull into the driveway. Now, what I really wanted to say to her is, how much pot was there at the party? Was your boyfriend driving too fast? Is your boyfriend really a jerk like I think he is? But that's not the way I got into things. You know, I would say, the movie that you saw with your boyfriend, do you recommend it? When the real question I wanted to know was about drugs, about sex. And you know what? It worked for me. I would ask her very light questions, and then she would be tired and vulnerable, and she'd start spilling. And the second secret is that you want to not interrupt your teens and not emotionally overreact when they start spilling details. Because once you start getting intense and emotionally reactive, the conversation is over. No teenager wants to talk to a parent who can't handle what they're telling them.
Which is, to them, their truth.
That's right.
We are nearly out of time. I do have a request. Now that you've written Talking Teenage, will you please write Talking Wife?
Oh, dear.
I could really use that.
Well, maybe we can write that together.
That's not such a bad idea. And then we do Talking Husband. It's because, in fact, I think the teenage language is probably the hardest one to learn. The husband and wife languages are not so easy either.
No.
I would love to have you back, Barbara. You're a wonderful guest, and 8 minutes doesn't even begin to give you a chance to shine, which you have done quite brightly already. But please tell our listeners where they could reach you or find you and where they could get your book.
Absolutely. They can go onto our website, talkingteenage.com. The book is Teenage as a Second Language, A Parent's Guide to Becoming Bilingual. They can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Borders, what remains of Borders these days.
Hey, it might be on sale there.
That's right.
You can get two of them and give them
exactly.
to a friend.
That's right.
All right, Barbara, thank you so much. Let's plan another time. I would love to have you again.
Okay, delightful. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure, Barbara. It is time for another break. We will be back with Family Financial Matters with Jim Scheinberg. This is Bruce Salen of The Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View.